Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
What's up, Zoneheads? Welcome into another edition of the pod. Happy to have you on board. And appreciate you hitting the play, download, subscribe button, however it was that you found us. Also, got a new Twitter account. How about that? At Zoneheads ORL. So we are now pretty much clean across the board in terms of social media engagement. No TikTok channel yet, but you can follow me on TikTok at Brandon Kravitz. We are on Facebook, which is where the majority of you guys live in terms of our group community communications, our Zoneheads group page on Facebook, also on Instagram at Zoneheads Orlando, and now on Twitter. Just cracked the 100 mark in terms of followers. So, you know, in terms of credibility, you got to get that number up a little bit, but every little bit helps. This week, of course, marred by the non-arrival of Messi, our folks at Loud and Proud, they post the Orlando City / Orlando Pride episode every Wednesday. They previewed the match. They talked about Messi and the impact that he has had on MLS and in Inter Miami. And unfortunately, City fans that went to Inter and Coast Stadium didn't actually get to watch the guy play. So at this point, you know, I'm salty about it. It feels like, definitely from our view in Central Florida, he's doing more harm than good to MLS. Yes, he's bringing a lot of eyeballs, but are those eyeballs going to stick around when Messi is no longer a part of the equation, or are they going to go away when Messi goes away, which is probably in about a year or two? We might never see Messi play in Orlando. You figure if next year is his last year, he'll be 37 years old. They have one chance unless they meet in the playoffs. You might not see Messi ever in Orlando. And I know a lot of soccer fans that, you know, and whether they want to admit it or not, because most soccer fans that watch MLS that are here in this city cheer for Orlando City, but there are also a lot of soccer fans that live in this town that are not Orlando City fans. They follow soccer internationally, and that guy's the GOAT. I mean, he's the Michael Jordan of soccer. So you want to see him suit up here in Orlando, and unfortunately that, of course, has not happened yet, and my prediction is that it never will. Let's turn our attention, though, the Friday episode. I might get a little bit creative with it moving forward into the summer, because how much Orlando Magic content are we really going to have? We'll have NBA free agency, and we'll tackle all of the rumors and who the Magic select in the NBA draft, which is actually where I'm going to start in terms of an off-season focus for the Magic. We've talked about the rumors and the rankings of who we want to see the Magic go after in free agency with this bevy of cap space and all of this flexibility that Jeff Weltman and company have bought themselves. But the draft is coming up in June, and had a chance to catch up with Corey Talaba, who runs the show over at No Ceilings NBA, and they do such a phenomenal job breaking down the NBA draft, the prospects, rankings, mock drafts. It's the NBA Draft Dude. Find NBA Draft Dude on Twitter. He breaks it down as well as anybody. And I asked Corey who the Magic are likely to go after, who's going to be there at 18. This is not a very impressive draft compared to other years, but it could be a deep draft. So for the Magic selecting at 18, this is actually a pretty good spot for them. But we dive into that and just the draft as a whole. Who's going to go number one overall? And can he actually sell me and sell us on why we should be excited about this year's draft? Got that in-depth conversation coming up for you right after this. Let's take a quick pause in the action to talk about today's sponsor, Diamond Dog Athletics, run by my guy Nick, a veteran-owned and operated apparel and sportswear company that specializes in creating custom apparel for teams of all ages. I'm talking baseball, softball, bats, gloves, catcher's equipment, uniforms, hats, and hoodies, you name it. By creating custom high-quality uniforms that the players will love, they'll look good on and off the field, and by using the best gear and equipment on the market, it will encourage them to continue to put in the effort needed to make it as far as possible on the diamond. Take a look for yourself. You'll be blown away with what you see at Diamond Dog Athletics on Instagram, or you can send Nick an email, diamonddogathleticsllc@gmail.com. Back to the show. No Ceilings NBA is a comprehensive draft guide for hoop heads everywhere with content to consume all year. But this time of year, those guys over there kicking into a whole other gear. Rankings, mock drafts, prospect breakdowns. It's awesome. Corey Talaba from NoCeilingsNBA.com, the draft dude himself, on with me here. What's up, Corey? Thanks for doing this.
Brandon, what's up, man? I appreciate you having me. Always look forward to talk draft and around this time of year with anybody that will listen. So we do it year round at No Ceilings, but I like breaking away from my crew and getting to talk to some draft outsiders who are now insiders now that it's draft time.
Yeah. And, you know, usually I'm much more locked into the draft because I cover the Orlando Magic and they have been heavily involved in this equation over the years. And I didn't even know the draft lottery was going on the other night. Like, I was just blissfully unaware that this was even taking place. So part of it is my own self-interest. And then it's also from an outsider's perspective. I like the draft, but I don't get into the weeds like you guys do. Not a very strong class, especially at the top. So I wanted to start with that because that seems to be the narrative. And you can tell me if I'm totally off base with this. Is this a good draft?
I think that there are talented players in this draft. I think that there are going to be players who could potentially be all-stars down the line. And I think that there is value to be had by the teams who have good scouting departments. I think where the narrative that this draft is weak comes about is that there isn't that in-your-face, just obvious all-NBA type of talent that some of these past drafts have had, especially recently, right? We've gotten Victor, we've gotten Anthony Edwards, we've got Paolo Chet. This year, we don't have that. We don't know who these players necessarily are going to be. Everybody maybe has a disagreement on who those players potentially could be. So from our perspective, that actually makes this draft a little bit more interesting than just going, you know what, Victor Wembanyama is number one at the top. You know, from an outsider perspective, it's harder to sell them. If you're the Atlanta Hawks and you just won the number one pick, you did so in, you know, maybe not the most ideal year to have done that. So that's kind of where the narrative comes from. But there are a lot of talented players in this draft, and there are still a lot of really good players who are going to contribute to winning basketball in the NBA. So all is not lost. There is still much to be excited about.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the best way to contextualize this is that the strength of the draft, we tend to judge it in the top three picks, and this one stretches beyond that, and we're not really sure. There's not that consensus guy, but is there a sweet spot in the draft through your process where you say, man, like, number one, sure, it's nice because you don't have anybody standing in your way if you fall in love with a player. But do you think there's a sweet spot in that first round where you're just in love with the pool of talent that's going to go from here to here?
I mean, it's honestly, it's hard to say where the talent is going to go in the draft because there are so many disagreements amongst the consensus about who is in that next tier, who is in the late lottery, who's in the end of the first round. You know, like there are a lot of prospects that people have in the lottery that might be mocked in one mock going in the first round, maybe in the early second round. And some of these people might be super high on them. For me personally, the sweet spot, like I think Detroit is in a pretty good position. I know that they dropped, you know, from 1 to 5, theoretically. Maybe they could save themselves from themselves here because I like some of the talent that might be available to them based on the fact that, you know, maybe people take some swings at the top. But I think the late lottery is going to have some people there. And then I think prospects are going to fall as well. So I think as long as you have a first round pick in this draft and you know what you're doing, I think you can get a pretty good player.
Is Alex Saar the consensus number one? And how much of that steam is because he's the perfect fit for Atlanta? Or is that part of the equation here?
He has been the, I think, consensus number one at No Ceilings. We do a draft stock rankings. We actually just updated it today, this morning. And Saar is the number one prospect based on all of the big boards that have come out from, you know, No Ceilings, ESPN, Bleacher Report, Yahoo, The Ringer, et cetera, taking the average there. Saar is the guy right now. Richesse had a little bit of momentum when he was like scorching the net earlier in the year. He's cooled down. So it's settled down into Saar. So it's not just because Atlanta got the number one pick. I think Saar would be a popular pick regardless of who ended up winning the lottery. But even with Saar, he is not your typical consensus number one pick, even though he happens to be that guy. Like he's more of your maybe number three or number four, maybe number five in a typical draft.
Yeah, we see guys that get drafted there hit all the time. So as long as they turn into good players, you're happy with the player that you selected. But what makes Alex Saar that prospect this year? 7'1", you know, he's got the height, he's got the length. I've watched some of the highlights. I mean, it looks like the guy's got handles. Is that essentially that sort of Euro, tall, lanky Euro with handles, that kind of mold?
It's kind of like, you know, we've seen Chet and Evan Mobley and Victor. We've seen like these skinny, lanky, kind of toolsy, multidimensional bigs come in that, you know, maybe when they come in initially, people are like, they're not strong enough to play the five. They might be a four. And then ultimately we realize that they're probably better off playing the five in the long term. So he's kind of in that mold. I think defensively, he's pretty advanced in that regard. He really moves like a guard on that end. And he's a good shot blocker near the rim. He's athletic. He can switch his feet. Offensively, he's a flashes guy. He's not as good of a passer as Evan Mobley was. He's not as good of a shooter as Chet was. He, you know, has some handles, but maybe he's a little bit more out of control than those guys might have looked at times. So when he puts it together, it looks incredible. When he gets a little loose, a little sloppier, you know, maybe you go, all right, this is going to be a process, but he has some stuff to his game that you go, wow, that was pretty crazy that a guy like that size can do that. He has like turnaround fadeaways that he got pretty comfortable with. But ultimately it's like the simple stuff that's going to take him to that next level as an offensive player. Like, can he actually knock down 3-point shots at a higher clip than the 28% that he shot this year? And that's a little bit of a ways away, but the theoretical kind of version of him is one of these Evan Mobley, Chet kind of players. And obviously, you know, both guys were playing in the second round of the playoffs. Wembanyama looks like he's going to take over the league. Like, that's the kind of player that you want for your team.
Yeah, sort of that new prototype. And maybe it's the name recognition for me, but Stephon Castle is somebody that really intrigues me in that top five range. He's a gamer. He can shoot, super athletic. What's his NBA comp? And do you think that he goes in that range?
I do think he's going to go in the top five. I've compared him to the player that he showed to be at UConn this year reminded me of Jimmy Butler when he was on the Bulls early before he had the breakout. Not the version, Jimmy Butler, not Jimmy G Buckets. You know, he turned into Jimmy G Buckets, but before that he was Jimmy Butler, the guy who went 30th, right? And like worked his way up to the star. But early in Jimmy Butler's career, he was cutting off ball. He was locking up your best player. He was making connected passes. And, you know, the shot was questionable. So he wasn't, you know, much of a shot maker, but he showed flashes. I kind of think that's his baseline, Stephen Castle. That's the role that he played this year for UConn as a freshman on the defending national champions. But ultimately, he has some Marcus Smart to him. And I think he's got a little bit more offensive potential to play with the ball in his hands that we didn't see, that he showed off in high school, the things that made him a McDonald's All-American. He's an incredible passer. He prefers to shoot off the dribble, needs to be better off the catch and less hesitant. But ultimately, you know, shooting, it's a shooter's league. You need to be able to shoot. So I think, you know, kind of in that Jimmy Butler early career wheelhouse is kind of where I'd expect him to end up, some kind of version of that and Marcus Smart.
Wow, that's not bad at all. That's
no, he's a winning player. He's a winning player, man. Like that's just awesome. Straight up, like, you know, shades of Drew Holiday, guys like that who are defensively going to really make an impact, aren't going to be your number one option necessarily. Obviously Jimmy turned into that, but again, we're talking about the Chicago Bulls early version. I want to be very clear.
He was on a couple of different teams as the two or the three before he got to that point.
Correct.
Since we're talking about the defending champions, they've got a couple of interesting players in this draft. What's your read on Donovan Clingan? Like, do you think he can be a true helpful contributor at an NBA level? I mean, even in day one, because it just worked so well. His game worked so well in college. He was such a dominant player this past year, took a championship team and actually made them better as the most consistent big on that team. Do you think he transitions well to the NBA game, or is this a college guy that's not going to make that jump? I'm thinking of Mecca Okafor sometimes when I look at him, but where are you at on Clingan?
Well, the thing that he has over Mecca Okafor is that he's just like massive. I think he's like 7'2" without shoes nearly at the combine, and he's got a huge wingspan. I'm a East Coast, Northeast guy, so being a Big East player, I got to see him a lot over the last few years, and I'm not gonna lie, last year I was like a little skeptical because he was super impactful, but he was only playing like 13 minutes a game, and it's like, all right, but can he do this when his minutes increase? You know, a lot of players can be really impactful when they don't have to worry about foul trouble. They can go all out because they know they're not going to play a ton of minutes. And he still didn't play the ideal amount of minutes this year. You know, he was like low 20s. He had a few games over 30. He obviously bumped that up as they got deeper into the tournament. But he is he's my number one player in the class. Because I think that the things that he got better at this year are the things that you like to see out of your modern big man. And the shooting obviously would be nice if he had it. I don't think he's going to be a big time shooter, but the form looks good. I've talked to people in the NBA who believes that he might be able to shoot it, down the line, at least at like, you know, a slightly below league average level, which is enough for your big man like him. But he is a really, really nuanced playmaker. And that UConn system with so much read and react and quick decision making and movement, he was able to find guys on cuts and, you know, like operating from the top of the perimeter rather than, you know, down in the post solely. So that kind of stuff to me is really intriguing. And that doesn't even touch on the impact that he's had defensively over the last couple of years. So, you know, you add in the fact that he has been one of the best shot blockers in college in recent memory. He moves a little bit better than you would think, given his size, and he can be a little bit more scheme versatile than just being in a drop, kind of like, you know, Zach Edey, you would think he's got to be a guy who's just going to play exclusively in a drop. Donovan Clingan moves a little bit better functionally. And then offensively, great screener, lob threat, rim roller with playmaking potential. And who knows, maybe he'll shoot it one day. But even if he doesn't, it's a super high baseline. And in this draft in particular, I know what I'm getting with him, where I don't necessarily know what I'm getting with a lot of the other prospects. So he's not a number one prospect in most drafts. In this one, he's somebody definitely in consideration for that. So I think he's going to be great in the NBA and be somebody who, even if he's not an all-star, you know, I think he can be an all-star, but like, to me, he's like, if he reaches his potential, he's a Marc Gasol kind of guy, which is just like high level defender, you know, like Marc Gasol didn't come in lighting the net on fire as a shooter, developed that over years and years and years. But like, that's the kind of player I think he can be.
So you're saying you think Alex Saar is going to be the top pick, but if you were running the show, Donovan Klingon would be first off the board for you.
Correct.
That's huge.
Wow. And I like Alex Saar. I do. I've seen him live multiple times dating back to when he was in high school. I think that the strides that he made this year are some of the biggest strides that I've honestly seen from a prospect. Because this is a guy who was like, maybe he's like a top 20 guy. And then all of a sudden he came in and the strides he made were huge. So I like Saar a lot, but I feel more confident in Klingon. And I know that the dude's a winner. Two national titles. I mean, you know, that's not by accident.
Right. And he was a huge part of that. Okay. So for our audience, I'm sort of burying the lead here, but the Magic do pick at 18. Your latest mock has them taking Keyshawn George out of Miami. No secret that this team needs shooting. So was that the thought here as far as putting him with the Magic? And who else do you see as a potential draft pick at 18 for Orlando?
Yeah, I mean, shooting for sure. And Keyshawn George is one of the draft's best shooters. Part of the other reason I think we considered him to the Magic is that the Magic also like, you know, these big, long, positionally jumbo-sized players, you know, like whether it's Franz, Paolo, you know, even Markel Fultz is kind of big for his position. Jalen Suggs, you know, is even on, he's not a small guard by any means. So they like these bigger guys, and he's a shooter. So for us, we weren't expecting Keyshawn George to even be a guy who necessarily was in the draft, and he just kind of was burst onto the scene, got hot at the right time, started earning more playing time on a pretty dysfunctional Miami team. So, you know, he was able to persevere through that. But as a guy who's 6'8", 6'9", still growing potentially and can shoot 40% from deep, doesn't need the ball in his hands, but can play with the ball in his hands, has good feel, has a lot of the qualities that the Magic have valued and kind of fits nicely with the kind of players that they would have around him. So that was kind of our reasoning for that. And if he ended up there, I think it would be a great, great spot for him. But at the end of the day, I'm targeting shooters for that team.
All right. I don't want to overextend your welcome here, Corey. It's been a phenomenal chat. I really appreciate the time. So I'll hit you with a couple of quick hitters here. You can answer these as quickly as you want. Bronny James, Zach Edey, where do you think they get drafted? Not necessarily the team, but
right.
A spot.
Well, Zach Edey is definitely a first rounder. I would say his floor is, you know, Boston at 30, but I think that there's a chance that he goes in the lottery, or if I had to bet, I would say the 15 to 20 range. That would kind of be my guess as to where he goes. Bronny James, look, I've seen Bronny in practice settings with Team USA. I've seen him in game settings. I think that the Bronny coverage is a little obnoxious at the combine this year. Obviously, we know Bronny, LeBron James kid. He's going to get viewers, clicks, all of that. Bronny is a good player who definitely needed more time in college. He is better playing off of better players. He measured well, 6'7 wingspan. He's going to be 6'2.5, something like that in shoes. He's a great athlete, strong, but he's raw. I think he's going to end up being drafted by the Lakers at pick 55, get a guaranteed contract, and be on the roster next year to satisfy LeBron. There were reports that he was, you know, that the Jazz are going to bring him in for a workout and might, you know, take him at pick 32. There's going to be a lot of rumors like that. Ultimately, I think that his agency is going to say he wants to play with LeBron and he will be a Laker.
Yeah, I don't know that you're going to see many mock drafts that go into round two that don't have Bronny as as an LA Laker. That might be the most consistent pick among the experts in this draft class. Corey, go ahead and tell people how they can find you. You'll certainly do a better job of this than I do. And how also beyond the draft. I mean, you guys are covering prospects all throughout the year. So if you could hit on that, tell people how to find you.
Yeah, we cover, you know, prospects all around the world, and we continue on that journey when they actually, you know, reach the NBA as well, and they are developing as young players. So you can follow us at No Ceilings NBA. You can follow me at Corey Tulliba. And you know, we're writing 5 days a week on the website. It's free to sign up or to subscribe to it. You'll get it delivered to your inbox at 9 a.m. Eastern time every day of the week. We have a podcast. We go 4 days a week with that. We have a YouTube channel that we constantly are uploading, you know, video content to. I've been watching film and doing film sessions with prospects, and those will continue up and through the draft and even into the summer leading into the next next cycle. So NoCeilingsNBA.com and NoCeilingsNBA on socials. That's where you can find what we're doing.
Man, I really appreciate it. You have taught me a lot today. The draft dude himself. Follow all of their coverage. You will not regret it. Thanks so much, Corey.
Appreciate it.
Today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast brought to you by Diamond Dog Athletics, custom baseball and softball uniforms for kids of all ages. Look good, feel good, play good, and email them today. Diamond Dog Athletics LLC at gmail.com. We appreciate you listening to today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. If you like the content you hear, rate, review, subscribe, and we'll keep it coming. Zoneheads Orlando on Facebook and on Instagram, the Orlando sports content that you crave. We appreciate you checking us out, and if you keep coming, we'll keep cranking out content. Talk soon, Zoneheads.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch!
Quick, the zip line!
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries!
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch!
What kind of day is it? It's a White Claw day. Light and refreshing tasting, uniquely cold way filtered. There's an iconic flavor for everyone. Come on, grab a pack. White Claw. Grab life by the claw. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavor. White Claw seltzer works Chicago, Illinois.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.